Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we look to the first reading, again, a continuation of the story of the people in the desert, the people looking for the promised land. We continue another chapter of that story, this time from the book of Joshua, chapter 3, verses 7 to 10, and then 11 to 17. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know I am with you as I was with Moses." When God wants somebody in leadership, he stands with them. With them. And he showed signs and wonders here because they desperately needed them. They didn't know God. And so God revealed himself to them with signs and wonders. Brothers and sisters, in this land, we know God, and we have chosen in many ways to reject him. We'll be dealt with very differently. How deep is your faith? How willing are you to stand on the truth of your faith against the onslaught that we're experiencing? We need people to stand firm. And sometimes we gain that strength by looking how God did with the people of Israel, how he cared for them, and knowing that he will care for us when we have his priorities. Even when we don't, he will work to bring us back to himself. But he will care for us and show us the way through if we're willing to seek him, if we're willing to wait upon his direction. If we're willing to pray night and day, he will show us. He will not abandon us. He'll tell us, you have the prophets. You have the words of the New Testament. Put your trust there. Turn to me and I will help you. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know I am with you as I was with Moses. Now, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to come to a halt in the Jordan when you reach the edge of the water." So Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that there is a living God in your midst, who at your approach will dispossess the Canaanites." In other words, he'll take away what belongs to them or what had belonged to them and give it to you. "The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth will precede you into the Jordan. When the soles of the feet of the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord of the whole earth, touch the water of the Jordan." Now remember, Moses did this in the Red Sea. Now here's a new leadership, and the Lord of the whole earth says, "Touch the water of the Jordan, and it will cease to flow. For the water flowing down from upstream will halt in a solid bank." The people struck their tents to cross the Jordan, with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant ahead of them. No sooner had these priestly bearers of the ark waded into the waters at the edge of the Jordan, which overflows all its banks during the entire season of the harvest, then the waters flowing from upstream halted, backing up in a solid mass for a very great distance, indeed from Adam, a city in the direction of Zarethan, while those flowing downstream toward the salt sea of the Arabah disappeared entirely. Thus the people crossed over opposite Jericho, while all Israel crossed over on dry ground. The priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord remained motionless. Look how they valued the word of the Lord, brothers and sisters. It was all they had then. Look how they valued it. And those who were chosen as bearers of the Ark of the Covenant, had to stand there in the middle of those walls of water, and they stood there firm, motionless, waiting till all the people had crossed over. This is a sign of God caring for his people. While all Israel crossed over on dry ground, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord remained motionless on dry ground in the bed of the Jordan until the whole nation had completed the passage. That's a miracle. God performs signs and wonders, not that we get startled by them and then wait for the next bit of entertainment, but we learn the lessons from them and begin to carry them out. God was asking for utmost trust in them. He was showing his power over all the elements to give them courage to put their trust in him, but he was asking them to trust him and to obey him. God is asking the same thing of us. Are you going to believe him or not? The God of Moses, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Joshua is your God. Same power, same authority. Are you following him? Are you doing what he asks? That you might see the glory and the beauty of the kingdom. God needs more disciples. He needs real disciples. He needs true disciples. Will you be one of them? And we look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 21 to 19, verse 1. This is a passage in the Gospel, again, on forgiveness. And frankly, brothers and sisters, sometimes that's like the waters of the Jordan or the waters of the Red Sea. It seems impossible. How can I get from that side, from my side to your side? How can we reconcile? There's a chasm between us. There's an ocean between us. But God has power to split the sea. God has power to change our relationships if we give him the authority to do so. If we're obedient to him, he will heal what is broken. But he tells us clearly, this is what we need to do. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him?" This is the way we are. How many times do I have to do this? As many as seven times, which was considered kind of the perfect number. Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife and his children and all his property, in payment of the debt." It's a pretty harsh judgment, but it was legal. "At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Please, be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.'" Made a promise. "And moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe me.' He has just had an enormous debt canceled. What does he do in gratitude? Thank the one who set him free? No, he goes and demands from a fellow servant all that that servant had." In other words, he received mercy, but he didn't become an agent of mercy. And that's why God gives us mercy, that we in turn might be merciful to others. And so he seized him and he started to choke him, demanding, "Pay back what you owe." And his falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, "Be patient with me, I will pay you back." But he refused. Indeed, he had the fellow servant put into prison until he paid back the debt. How do you pay back the debt when you're in prison? It means your family has to do it. He was relieved of an enormous hardship and then went out and imposed a significant hardship on another. We do that, brothers and sisters, you and I. We go to confession. We're set free. We walk out, but we demand from others then. We won't forgive others. We've been forgiven by the King of Kings, and yet we hold hardness in our hearts. We demand of others what we have asked God to excuse us from, and he has. And yet we turn and try to impose something harsh on someone else. If you've been forgiven, forgive. Will they take advantage of you? They could. We take advantage of God all the time. But by having mercy, you can change the whole environment. It does say, go and sin no more. Don't do this anymore. But when we show mercy, we open up a pathway of love for the sake of others. Do you want to leave a legacy of harshness and bitterness and anger and resentment and revenge? Or do you want to leave a legacy of love and kindness and mercy and forgiveness for the generations to come? Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they saw the injustice. The master had forgiven him, and he would not forgive his fellow servant. When they saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed, and they went to their master and reported the whole affair. So the master summoned this servant, this duplicitous servant, and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" And then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart. There it is, brothers and sisters. There it is in black and white. Are you willing to forgive? Don't worry about how you feel. Worry about what decision you need to make. The feelings will follow. Make the decision to let go of the grudge, the desire for revenge, the not talking to people for years, the jealousy, the malicious speech. Give it up and know the freedom of the sons and the daughters of God. Otherwise, on your death, that's what you will hear from the Lord. Exactly what that servant heard. Please, brothers and sisters, please, for the sake of your own salvation, but also for the sake of the gospel of Christ being known over the face of the earth, your repentance opens the doors. May God give you much grace. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.